Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, March 25th of 2020. Happens to be Annunciation Day. In other words, the day where Mary became pregnant for Jesus, to have Jesus, based on the idea with Christmas being on the 25th of December. That's where the idea comes from, that Annunciation Day would be March 25th. And that's today. And so it's actually pretty neat to think about as we are a quarter of the way back to the holidays. Man, where is the time going? Sorry to the 25th. Even though stuff is slowing down, that doesn't mean time's not going by. It's still going by.
Yeah.
Quick.
And
so we're so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing this great program. And I just know from the inside, I just feel it from the inside out that God wants to minister to you tonight. God does. And well, I will give you the word of God and sing and exhort you and minister to you in that way. The Lord will get down in your spirit. He will. You just have to expect it. You have to be expecting God to move on your behalf. You'll get the most out of this if before you tune in, if you're expecting that God will move on your behalf, expecting that God will do things for you, expecting that God will minister unto your soul, heal your body, that he will do all these things that he promised you that he would do, that he promised us that he would do. Amen. Amen. And you know, we are on the last of the last of the last days. And this crisis that we're dealing with around the world, and by the way, this virus will die in the name of Jesus now. And everything behind it will die now. In the name of Jesus. But what this really shows that we are in the last of the last of the last of the last days. And this virus is just the tip of the iceberg. The Bible says in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines, earthquakes, pestilences in various places. But you can come to Jesus. If you come to Jesus, you'll be able to feel a lot better if you have Jesus. You get to choose. Am I going to live in fear or am I going to live in faith? By faith, I mean. And I don't allow myself to live by fear. Allow myself to live in fear. I don't. And lately I've been either reading or listening to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. I shall fear no evil. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He comforts me. Though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it goes on to talk about some great things. Also, Psalm 91, which is the verse that we stand on for, the psalm that we stand on for safety and protection. And I say that a lot on the show. Towards the end, oftentimes I will pray Psalm 91 over us, that he will lead us and protect us. It's, by the way, it's not some cliche church thing that my church does at the end of every service. Nope. The meaning about that is the blessings of safety and protection that God has given us. That's what Psalm 91 is about. It's not some meant to be some cliche thing. No drunk driver. You know all that. But this behind it is that none of this evil stuff will come near us or our immediate loved ones. That's absolutely what's behind it. And tonight, in a bit, when we read in Genesis, Noah's Ark, we're going to discover that the Ark was meant to be like the church for the last days. God told Noah to build an ark. And we're going to talk about that and what all happened. The church is like the ark of safety in the last days. And I'm going to remind you again in just a couple minutes how you're supposed to pray over this thing, because these governors, so many of them, regardless of party, they have decided to limit how many people can gather together, even if it includes religion. Now, some of the, and now, I read a report today that says that maybe it may not be that what's going on is that suddenly this thing just started coming. What if it's that we're testing so much more and we're actually finding it, and then we weren't finding it? Then what do you do? Then you wonder if it was really worth shutting everything down. And regardless of all that, I still curse that thing, detected, undetected, regardless. And I pray for people. I don't curse the people. We curse the virus. And the demon behind it, I like to call Koron the moron. That thing is dead in the name of Jesus. Devil, you will get your hands off of us. You will release your grip on the church. You will release your grip on this country right now. You will take this virus with you, devil. I know, but at the same time, that doesn't. But in the name of Jesus, I command that thing to die now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that thing is powerless. You, Lord Jesus, are all powerful. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that for all these governors and city officials who have decided to limit how many people can lawfully assemble in the house of God. Thank you that you will speak to them and show them why it's not right. Because as Christians, we should be able to assemble in the house of God. All gathering, including, most importantly, the house of God. Because the house of God, because if the house of God isn't, then, but in the name of Jesus, I that they would realize that the house of God is where the medicine is. It's where the healing is. That's the ultimate medicine, more than what a doctor can give. Regardless of what the doctors can find, will find. Jesus, you are the ultimate medicine that cure all infirmity, all sickness, all disease, all virus, all everything. You cure all of it. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on this country, and that you're using our president, presidents of other countries. Thank you for the doctors, Lord God. Not only the doctors involved with the Centers for the Disease Control, but the doctors around the world, in this country, in the state, who are, and these nurses who are on the front lines, in these hospitals, in these doctors' offices. I pray that you protect them. That you protect them, so that they don't catch. So that they don't come down with this, Lord God, and that you just protect them, and you show them what to do, what the best treatment is for this, what the best outcome for patients. And I just thank you, Lord God, that every demon behind this virus will die now, in the name of Jesus, and all fear related to this thing will cease right now, in the name of Jesus. Because Lord God, you have not given us a spirit of fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. That's what you've given us. Not fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand, that your will be done. And I just thank you, Lord God, for the economy, that the economy would come back. Thank you for the president and what he's saying, that we got to get the economy back. I thank you that the economy will come back, that people will come back to these businesses. Thank you for all these business owners. May you bless these businesses, every one of them. And may your people be blessed with more than enough. As you said, Lord God, that this would be a 2020 would be a year of plenty. By the way, that doesn't mean plenty of trouble. That means plenty of blessing, plenty of increase. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you need to be praying. And whenever it comes to your mind, if you're reading something about it, listening to something, thinking something, you know, somehow, just curse that thing. Just curse that virus. Curse the demons behind it. Call it whatever you will. Quran, 19, whatever. Curse that thing. Because that thing has to go off from this planet. because it is very dangerous, and God does not want to hurt his kids. God doesn't want to hurt. God doesn't want to. But I'm saying it has to go. It has to leave. It has to leave and get off of this earth. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. Now, I wanted to remind you guys to please, if you're out and about, support that local business that's near you, that takeout place. Maybe you've got that coffee place that you haven't been to before. Maybe you got that donut shop or that other cafe, that Mexican place, maybe Chinese. Yes, by the way, Chinese food is still safe. Don't worry about it. Tastes good. I like it. Sesame chicken. But nonetheless, today I went to this, it's called Pete's Oven Bakery down there in Waterford, pretty close to Dixie Highway, and they have real good donuts. They have pretty good cookies in that too, but I recommend their peanut butter donut. I had it today for basically my third time ever, and it's one of the really good peanut butter donuts that I've found. And I've had several good ones. In my mind, peanut butter donut, that's almost where the donut gospel is. Which, by the way, that I don't want you looking through the Bible trying to find a donut gospel, because that's not real. But I will say it's a very good flavor. It's one of my favorite donut flavors that I've had is peanut butter. But they're nice big ones for just a little over $1 a piece. I got one. A couple other people. They're doing construction downstairs. Don't worry if you hear other noise. Don't worry, it's not me. Hang in with us, we'll work through it. We'll work through it. Amen. We will work through this noise. Because we won't let noise get in the way. Amen. But, like I was saying a second ago, they were pretty good donuts for a good price, and I left a nice $2 tip. But just saying, it was good stuff, and surprisingly, they still got some people going in and out of there. In fact, they're selling these cookies so that these cookies can make their sugar cookies. And they're making it for like 12 cookies for $12. And apparently they're selling a lot of them. Really? And it's actually real cool that they're doing their helping the kids who are out of school right now, but nonetheless, I think it's pretty cool what they have chosen to do, and it's one of the really good donut shops I've been, and I've been to quite a few really good ones. As for the best ones I've been to, I would still say one of them might be that one in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yeah. And some of the best ones in America, I imagine, have to be in Texas, I feel like. They claim that based on per person, this might have been a few years ago, that Houston had the most, their donut shops on average were 100 and some percent more popular than another city's. Where I learned that from, though, was from some certain thing where some city leaders in Houston were actually really concerned about it. But when I first heard that, like 5 years ago, I saw it as a quality of Houston. Also that it's a good oil town, it's a rising city. It's always been one of my favorite cities in America. It is one of the most humid ones, but in the summer, but in my mind, the pluses about it to me kind of made up for the minuses. And someone would say, do some of your favorite things about it have to do with food? Some of it, yes, but also sports and stuff, and that it's a growing city. Texas in general, though, I feel like that's how it is. Now, haven't been to New York, haven't been to California. You said you have. You said California, like some things you like, other things not so much. Wait a minute, what is this? Hey. Sorry about that. We just had a different device going on. And so, anyhow, listeners, that God is on our side. And we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. America's going to get through this. We're going to come out of this stronger. The church is going to come out of this stronger. Amen. I know it, for sure. And right now would be a good time to be asking God to just revive your soul, revive you. And it would be a great time to repent. A great time to repent of whatever you've been doing that's against the will of God. Just thought I'd encourage you with that right there. Now, going to sing a couple of songs. No, actually, first, I want to encourage you to please tell someone you know how they can be a part of this great program. The best way to be a part is to tell how you can tell others is they can call in to area code 215-383-3810. Again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener, and then my assistant will let me know that we have a caller, and then we'll get you on. We'll say, what say you? And hopefully we can have some great callers tonight. All right, now, as we worship the Lord for a little bit, water you've turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Yes. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age you stand, time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. A God of three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You're worthy of all praise. My heart will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, you're worthy. You're so worthy, you're so great. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are, for what you've done. that you're in our midst tonight, that you're comforting us, that you're leading us, you're guiding us. Your perfect love is casting out all fear. And when we're afraid, Lord God, we trust in you. We will trust and not be afraid. I thank you, Lord God, that these people have come ready to learn something about you. They've come ready to learn of your ways, to learn something more about you that maybe they didn't know. Maybe to remind them of something they did know, but reminders never hurt us. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would use these listeners to learn something tonight from you, and that you use me to minister this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us right now. I give you permission, Lord Holy Spirit, to interrupt me as you see fit. And Heavenly Father, I make my confession. I thank you that sponsors are coming into the program. Increases in listenership are coming into this program, that finances are coming into this program, and most important of all, Lord God, I thank you for souls, a huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, amen, amen. Open up your Bibles, please, if you would, to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Praise God, Genesis 6. And I always say open up your Bible with me because this isn't just meant to be some kind of show. It is a show, but ultimately I want you to study your Bible with me. And I want you to participate. When I sing, you sing. You know the lyrics. I pray, you pray. I exhort. You pay attention. And when I'm reading, you study your Bible with me. Because I believe that's how you're going to get the most out of this, is when you're being apart and gleaning everything that God has for you from this. Amen. Like I said, we're going to Genesis 6. So Genesis, of course, first book of your Bible. If you went past it by now, I don't know what happened. I guess it's like you missing the exit on the freeway. Yes, by the way, listeners, my mom has done that. Yes. Oh. All right. All right, chapter 6, we begin with verse 1. When men began to increase in number on earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them that they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit, capital S, my spirit will not contend with man forever, because he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children to them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inception of the thoughts of the heart was some evil part of the time, some good part of the time, a bit of gray area. Oh! Wait a minute. Did something happen with my glasses or something? Did I? I don't know. Not talking about really with my glasses. I'm talking about an error. Oh! Did somebody misprint that or something, or no?
That word?
Oh, what I mean is the thoughts of his heart was all part evil, part of the time, part good, part of the time. Talking about reading. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what it said. Oh, 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 oh.
Right.
Oh, that's what I meant when I said, oh, like it was written that way. And I'm like, no. Oh. Let's try this again. The Lord saw how great I was working on the earth has become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all of the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Hang on, I'm just turning the page. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was filled with violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, and all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, and the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. We'll go to 7 also, and I'm going to talk to you about what on earth happened. What on earth happened? The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, every male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature that I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark. And God had commanded Noah, after the 7 days the flood waters came on the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. Rain fell on the earth 40 days, 40 nights. On that day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to their kinds, and every bird according to its kind. Everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them, came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female, every living thing, just as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut them in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming upon the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind, everything that was on dry ground that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men, animals, and the creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. All right, now, let's talk about this. So, God didn't like what he saw going on earth. I heard something once from a reputable source. Mom, where was it? Where did Reverend Taylor get that from, that there was like over 8 or 9 billion people on the earth at the time?
Oh, at a museum, at the NOAA.
Are you talking about the one in Kentucky?
I'm not sure. sure where.
Because I know there's a Noah Museum in Kentucky.
I believe that was where then, yes.
Yeah, down there near the Cincinnati area. Oh, yeah. But by the way, but what I will say is this. One time he was speaking, he was preaching, he had told, and he informed us that at that time, the days of Noah, there were more people on earth then than what there are right now today.
Oh, yeah.
When I heard that, I was shocked. Weren't you?
Yes.
Because, but to think that there was that many people on the face of the earth.
Yeah,
and also the fact that all that was in their minds was evil all the time. All the time. People would go to hear Noah preach and would laugh at him. They would laugh at him when he would preach his sermon. You got to get right with God. You got to get right with God. You got to get right with God. You can't live for yourself. You can't, it's not lawful for you to, these are perilous days. That's what Noah was warning the people. They weren't listening. Even some of them who thought, oh, he has a good voice. Do you think there were people like him that liked to hear what he had to, that may have liked some of what he had to say, but at the same time they would also laugh at him?
Right, yes.
And they thought, I like him the way he thinks, and sometimes he thinks positive, but at the same time, I don't want to do the things that he says I should be doing. I don't really want to listen to him, pay full attention to him. I don't really want to live for God. I don't really want...
Right. I want to have fun. I want to do my own thing.
I just want to do it my way and come and just live how I feel. That's probably kind of how the church is today. People don't necessarily laugh when the preacher is preaching. At least in my church, they don't. But there are people in churches all across this country. Some people in these spirit-filled churches are like, I like this church. I like the people in this church a lot. But I only want to live according to how I think I want to live. And I only want to do the things that apply to me. And I only want to serve God when it's come to church when it's convenient. When it's convenient? So maybe Sunday morning might not be convenient because it's too early. Or maybe you're a Sunday morning person, but Sunday night, you got football. Or Thursday night you got football. Or maybe you got a baseball game or a hockey game. Oh, by the way, right now, listeners, you know what, listeners? Right now, hockey, gone. March Madness, gone. Baseball, gone. For right now. You mean to tell me those things will never be back? They will. They will. I think they will. But by the way, that's beside the point. But what I'm after is they all thought, but people will think, I'm just going to do it how I want, when it's convenient. And they'll be like, is it really that bad? Are we really in the last days? In perilous times at that point? To that I say, listeners, we are in the last of the last of the last days. We are. It's clear. Even if to you it was kind of dreary, kind of unsure, are we in the last of the last days or not? Well, after this, we know we're in the last days. we are. I had heard that since I was little, but it's even more clear now. The truth of the matter is, you can't do this walk with God the way you want to. You can't go by, is it convenient? Do I want to do it? No. Not if you want all the benefits that God has for you. If you want everything that God has for you, you have to be all in, not partway in. Because right now, these are serious times. These are serious times. God flooded the earth. At that time, everything was evil. There's a ton of evil people now, but thank God they're still Christians. There still are, yet, still some good, born-again, water-baptized, spirit-filled Christians and water-baptized, fire-baptized, spirit-filled pastors who are living right, doing it the right way. Amen. But God made a promise to Noah. Want to know what he said? I promise that never again will I flood the earth and destroy everything on it. And he told Noah, be fruitful, multiply. He told him, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number. May those who go ahead of you, may they increase in number. And he basically allowed a restart to life. It was like a restart. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah.
So it was like a restart. And God allowed that to happen. Well, all the crises that we have dealt with in modern history, God didn't cause them. God didn't cause them. Either man caused them or the devil caused them. Because God, and let me tell you something, by the way, guys, God's word is still true today. Because God said, I will not destroy the earth with a flood. He also said, I will not purposely destroy the whole earth and kill everybody in an instant again. Remember? That he also said, I will not put sickness and disease away on my people. Even if it was something else going on right now, I would say, God did not do this. God did not do this. Oh, he's trying to teach us something. Well, he didn't cause this, but we can all use it as a wake-up call, as much of a wake-up call as it is, he didn't cause it. And that can even be if it's just something in your own life. God didn't cause it. But it can serve as a great wake-up call for you to at least check yourself to make sure that you're right. And if you're not right, fix it between you and God, or you, your family, and God. Because ultimately, you're going to give an account to God, not to me, not to my mama. It'll be to God that you give an account. And he's going to say, what'd you do for me? And he wants you to tell you the truth. Did you serve me wholeheartedly? Did you warn my people? God called you to be a teacher and preacher. Did you warn my people? And then I would give my answer. And then he'd say, well, what about? And then I would answer accordingly. And I want him to be able to say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, sorry, sir. I noted that I told you some things to do, but you didn't do them. And then I'll ask, why didn't you do them? And some of us may be like, well, it wasn't convenient. There was this going on and that going on, and I had to take care of my wife, my dog, my cat, my tractor, my kids, my roses, my car. Oh, my car. My car. And I got a game to watch, and I got, oh yeah, all kinds of excuses. But God said, not excused. And in the book of Luke, that one person tried to go into that banquet. Anyone trying to go into that banquet? No one who was invited would taste his supper. And speaking of excuses, Dr. Barclay, he's from Harrison originally, and so he went to high school up in Harrison. And sometimes he would miss school a lot. He might still be the biggest school skipper in the history of Harrison High School. But needless to say, he would skip school, and he'd miss school, and he would sign a parent signature, and then usually they would, they'd go into the office and turn it in. Go back to class. And go back to class. One day, he actually had his mom sign the paper for as to why he wasn't there. She gave a reason. He goes into the office. Usually, like I said, she would have... Okay. Now, this time, it's like when we get to the principal, and basically the lady says, Barclay, there's not an excuse good enough. Remember that, Mom? That's basically what he told him, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, he said, you're not excused.
Yeah.
And that was after his mom actually filled out the parent thing. His mom actually did it.
Yeah.
All the other times he did. And he might have said, well, the donut shop was out of donuts. So I had to go to Claire to find him. Or whatever other thing he might have wrote. This time she gave a reason. You are not sick. Yep. Don't let God say that to you. Don't let God stay away from me. You didn't do what I asked you to do. You acted like a coward. You didn't obey me. Hopefully, to you he'll be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You lived for me as I asked you to. I told you people to warn about the day to come. You did it. About the day that was coming. You did it. And I'm so proud of you for everything that you did. And well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into what I have for you. That's what I hope he says to me. Isn't that what you hope he says to you when you're on that judgment seat of Christ? And you give that account, and he's so proud of it. And that account is like a test. It's pass or fail.
Okay.
Yep. It's not like this other test that you might have studied for so that you can get an 80-90% or 98%. Folks, this is the last days. Time to really take that walk with God of yours seriously.
Yes.
Don't just take it for granted. This is not the time to take the walk, your walk with God for granted. It's really not. If you're still taking it for granted, you need to stop. Now. Because he could come tomorrow. He could. He does say also that I will come at an hour when people will not expect. And back in the 70s, people were always saying, he's going to come at any time. He's going to come at any time. He's going to come at any time. Wasn't even your dad thinking that back in like the early 70s?
Oh, yes.
And it was like almost every pastor everywhere was so convinced of he's going to come at any time. He's going to come at any time. I think they thought more of that then than what a lot of those same pastors would have thought around 2000. Certainly more in the 70s than what they did in the mid-90s. He said, I will come at a time when my people will not be expecting it. Come like a thief in the night. That doesn't mean that it would not be in a time of crisis. Maybe it could be like a time of crisis, but we didn't necessarily think he was going to come. But something I know, it's not a guess. This isn't I know so. If he tarries, it will get worse. This is the tip of the iceberg. It is. I'm not saying what the next thing will be. I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? I do know this. We are in the last of 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 the last days. We can't be too far off. However many years or months or days that is. But we know he's coming. So you want to get ready. And the ark of God, the church is the ark of safety in the last days. And by the way, I'm not talking about a building specifically. I'm talking about a church family. Having the support of your pastor, having the support of the elders, the ministers within that church, living word, we're like an ark. We're like that city on a hill. And we got all these great elders and ministers and our pastor who care about us. They want to see us make it in God. They don't just want to see us survive. They want to see us thrive in God, in our walk with God, because they care. And they've built in the church. I'm convinced. The last day's army, the last day's church, is an ark. It's like a beacon of hope. It's an ark. Because God told Noah, I want you to make the ark 3 stories high with a door. And one thing I know, the darker the world gets, the brighter the kingdom of God gets. The brighter And I think we're going to see that more and more. That as darkness on the earth continues to increase, the kingdom of God, the power of God is going to greatly increase in his church. I think we're going to see a great increase in the anointing of God. It'll be a very serious, significant increase. I didn't want to use the word severe because sometimes severe can be a, can sound kind of negative. But I do think it'll be a heavy increase in the anointing of God. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I don't know about you, but I'm believing for God to move on my behalf. I want him to move on your behalf. We got people to reach. And when I think about the house of God, it's like I just said a minute ago, it's just like an ark. How Noah had built the ark. As God called him to. And in that ark, there was all kinds of animals. By the way, the only people who were allowed to be in the ark were those who rode on it. No one else. No one else. So there was Noah. Noah's wife, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their sons' wives with them. Eight people, plus all of those other animals, the two by two, all the different animals, seven of every unclean, seven of all the clean, two of all the unclean. God made it very clear how he wanted it to be. Very specific. Noah built the ark according to how God wanted it to be. And let me tell you, they were in that ark for a long time. And by a long time, I don't mean 5 minutes. You know, when I was little, that the ark was like one of these inflatable toys. Like the moonwalk. I think of these moonwalks that we used to have in like, I don't know, 97, 98. And my church, for a couple of invasions, they had this serious-sized moonwalk. I want to say you could fit like 20, possibly more people in it. It had a very high ceiling. And it echoed a lot. It was quite fun. It was awesome. I loved that thing. After 1998, though, it never came back. And I was sad. But needless to say, thought of the ark as being like that. But, now, honesty, the ark, which was like a boat, the ark was a boat, it floated over top of the water. As the water increased in height and depth, the ark went over top of it. So sometimes it was like a bit of a ride, a bit of a roller coaster ride sometimes. So it might have felt like one of those ball toys. I don't know. You know, sometimes I'm just saying, like, remember when I would hear the story? And you know, at the time I was like a 7-8-year-old kid. And I'd heard the story beforehand, but later I started using, like, analogies of how I would think of it as. And I thought of it as the water the stuff going over it. Just like how that moonwalk requires the air to be turned on so that it can stay inflated. Or, for that matter, anything else inflated. Whether it be one of those slides, those inflatable slides, or an inflatable anything else. I always really enjoyed the inflatables when I was younger. I really did. But needless to say, the Ark God said you had to help build the Ark in order to ride on it. I mean, in order to live in it. Because it wasn't necessarily meant to be just like a ride. Like, we going on a boat ride. We going on a boat ride. Nope. That I know of, it's not. That's not how it worked. It wasn't like we going on a boat ride, floating down the river. Nope. The Ark was an Ark of safety. The Ark was meant to be an Ark of safety. So they built the Ark. And then the water was over the face of the earth for 150 days. Actually, they were on the ark for 12 months. 12 months. Think about that. Being on an ark for 12 months. That'd be quite a long boat ride. At that point, I'd be like, how do I get off of this? Then God sent the dove, and at one point, came right back. Water was still too deep. Next time, he comes back later. Water's still a bit deep. Sometimes later, he never even comes back. Then they had to sit there and wait for instructions from God. God tells them, come out of the ark. You, your wife, your sons' wives with you. Come out of the ark. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have children. And he made that promise that he would never again flood the earth. Never again would he flood the earth. You see, he flooded the earth because there were no righteous people left other than, like, Noah. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Noah kept pleading, communing with, Abraham. Lot just kept communing with God and asking him all these questions, you know. Will you recite it? Will you destroy the city if there's 45 righteous people? Nope. You want 40? Nope. 30? Nope. 20? Nope. But if there's 10? Nope. There were none. Other than the family of Lot. Now, Sister Salt, she looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. By the way, not salt from the French fries at McDonald's, Sonic, or anywhere else. She returned, and she looked back. But, needless to say, there were not righteous people found there. So, what happened? Destroyed. Now, America, we still got some righteous people left. Thank God. We still got people who are truly righteous, truly living for God, truly doing what's right, not just doing it when it's convenient for them. Because I don't just, but like I was saying, You know, it's just like the days of Lot, where Lot was talking to God, communing, and he's asking him, Lord, now what are you going to, what if there's only 45 righteous people? I won't destroy it then. Throw 40. 30? Nope. Oh, Abraham, I mean. Lot was different. 30? Nope. 20? Nope. If there's 10? Nope. Noah, excuse me, in Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't find any righteous people there besides Lot and his family. None. And Sister Salt, why, Lot's wife? Yep, Sister Salt. You know why she's Sister Salt? Because she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. And by the way, it's not like the salt from McDonald's, Sonic, Burger King, or anywhere else. Nope. It was like a not good kind of salt. And you see, in a way, these last days are just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah. Because in Luke it talks about how in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Noah, people eating, drink, people ate, drank, marrying, giving in marriage. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, until the day the flood came and destroyed all of them. All. Same thing in the days of Lot and Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah. People were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building until the day came where Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And, people were out there, people were out there, a lot of the construction workers and that went to work to build. A lot of the other people went to plant in their fields and stuff. Other people went to do their work at McDonald's. They didn't have those, but at the places of the day. And then some of the ladies were out and about shopping in their boutiques.
Yeah.
Be it downtown or at Burlington's or at wherever else, down at the mall, Rochester, wherever they were all out shopping. But then suddenly fire and brimstone came and destroyed it. Because there were no righteous people there. Had there been righteous people there, it wouldn't have been destroyed. I thank God all the time that there are still righteous people on this in this country, that there are still righteous on this planet. I thank God all the time. And the reason I'm telling you this is probably to remind you, this is the last of the last of the last days. Don't allow yourself to go off track to the point where God no longer considers you righteous. Don't do that, because then you're going to hurt yourself. And I don't want to see you hurt yourself. I don't want to see you hurt your family. I don't want that, because I love you. I care about you. And I say I love you all the time, but I want you to realize I mean it. Because I care about your soul, and I want to see you make heaven. I really do. If I didn't care so much, I wouldn't tell you this. But since I care, I'm telling you. And in the last days, when we got all the stuff going that we do, it's not a time to play games with God. If you are playing them, you should stop and get serious about this walk of God of yours, because the door is closing. Time is coming to a close quickly. And you need to be ready. And by the way, when the trumpet blows, the day the trumpet's going to blow, God's not going to say, like that week or whatever, he's not going to say, Sunday evening at about 8:30, the trumpet's going to blow, and I want y'all to look good and be ready. You watch. All the phone lines will be busted, basically. I mean, you won't be able to get through. All the internet stuff will be super slow. But here's why. He says that on the day, it'll be because everybody's busy emailing and stuff, repenting. They're repenting. They're all calling, emailing, writing, repenting. Now you see what I mean. Now you can see why now, right? But if they were all told, if that was how it worked, if it was like, I'm going to come in a few hours and I want you to look good and be ready, then it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They'd all be like, I better hurry. Nope, that's not the way it's going to work. It's going to be on the day we don't expect it. The hour we're not aware of it. Who knows? Might be when you're on a roller coaster at Cedar Point, then what? Could be when you're at the game and you think that the trumpet that you're hearing is the church. But it'll be a trumpet. The trumpet will be like the voice of an archangel, and there'll be a loud shout. The voice of triumph. I'm sure it's going to be louder than any three-pointer, home run, touchdown, or goal scored. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the question becomes, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture? Because it's coming soon. Sooner than you realize. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight.
Yes.
This word about Noah.
Yes.
And how Noah told his people. He warned his people all the time. They didn't listen. And then, Lord, you had caused a flood on the earth, which you had said you would never do again after. But, Lord God, we choose to listen. I thank you, Lord God, that these listeners would listen to me. Well, take my word to heart tonight. And that we would just take your word to heart and live for you. And that even if it doesn't look like rain today, it's just another sunny day, that could be the day you come. And I pray that we would all be ready. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. Tonight, in Jesus' name. And there's a song I want to sing to you tonight, but that's from David Huff, David and the Giants, and it's about God of my salvation. You are the rock that moves me. So here we go. Oh, God of my salvation, you are the rock that holds me. You are the wheel that fills my soul. Whenever life seems heavy, I know you're more than ready to come and make my spirit whole. And this is my soul of praise. I come to worship, I come to praise you when my heart overreaches and the earth shall pass away. And I know, O God of my salvation, you are the rock that holds me. You are the Lord that fills my soul. Whenever life seems heavy, I know you're more than ready to come and make my spirit whole. And this is my song of praise. And thank you, Lord God, for our salvation. Thank you that we are saved. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come near us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. You have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. And until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.